Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again, this is Steve Warren, and it's time for another Spectrum. And you've heard me talk over the past couple of weeks about a new play that is opening in New York. It's called Golden Shield. And we interviewed the playwright, Felicia King, a couple of weeks ago. Got some nice reaction to that. I had not seen the show when I interviewed Felicia, so I wanted to see it before I got any deeper into talking about it or interviewing any of the people that participate. Since then, I have seen the show in previews, and we'll probably see it again right after it officially opens. But we have one of the principal characters from the show who's a character, but then he's not a character. His name is Feng Du. Feng, welcome to China America Radio.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I know when people hear that a play is partly in Mandarin and partly in English, they're always thinking subtitles, but you're sort of a walking, talking subtitle.
Yeah.
Your role is called the narrator, and you are sort of the Mr. Interlocutor that explains to the audience the things that they might not understand otherwise. Let's get to know you a little better. You're from a place that we don't have many folks from in these parts, from Dandong, China.
Yes.
Which is way up in the north northeast corner. And your biggest claim to fame, I think, is being next door neighbor to North Korea.
That's true.
And famous for a couple of bridges for one or more reasons. Tell us how you got from Dandong to New York, or what route did you take?
I was born and raised there. My parents are both in sports. And that's actually how we got to New York. My dad was a shooting coach for the Chinese Olympic team. And we used his high achievement in the field to apply for a visa back in the late 90s, when not a lot of people were coming over to the U.S. in that way. And that's so my whole family moved to Boulder, Colorado when I was 17 years old.
Oh, good. So you do have recollections of growing up in
Dandong,
the city itself.
Definitely.
Have you been back there since?
A few times since my grandparents were living there at the time. So I've been back to visit. Most of my aunts and uncles still live in Dandong.
So the weather up there can be a little brutal. Is that why you moved to Boulder, to sort of replicate the climate that you left behind?
That's another story entirely. We're actually going to move to New York when we first came here, big cities. We, you know, at the time, we only knew New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Chicago. Maybe the four big cities that we've heard of. But one of my mom's friends was living in Boulder at the time. She was training there. She was a long distance runner. She was training there at the time. And they said, it's a great city. It's, you know, it's a college town. The weather is nice. We have friends here, and come out here instead of going to New York. So that's how we ended up in Boulder.
So how did you get from a sports family to the theater?
I've always liked performing, I guess. There were not a lot of venues I can express that while I was living in China. Throughout my schooling there, we would have maybe one cultural presentation, I would say, each year. Each class will, you know, either do a song, a dance. My class always did a skit. And I would always be the person who does that skit. So I'm not unfamiliar with acting, I guess, but coming from a sports family, that just wasn't something that, you know, we thought I was going to do as a career. That was just wasn't in the cards. But after I moved to the United States, I was taking a lot of language class at the time. I was still in ESL classes at the time. And one of my ESL teachers was saying that I had too many. I should go take something for fun. So I went down to the counselor's office And just happened, there was one spot left in our introduction to theater class. And I thought, oh, that would be something I'd want to, you know, maybe explore a little. And I guess the rest is history.
So you've done quite a few things. I was looking over your bio in the playbill from the show, and you've done quite a bit of work. What brought you to this production of Golden Shield? How did that marriage happen?
Actually, Felicia and I went to grad school together. We were at Columbia together. She was in the dramaturgy program, and I was in the acting program. So back in 2017, when she first, I remember reading the first draft of Golden Shield, and she wanted to do kind of hearing it out loud, the first reading of this play, and she approached me. And at the time, I guess there weren't a lot of actors who could do both languages as fluently. It just happened that I was there, and she knew me, and she wanted me to read this part. And the play has gone through tremendous changes since that point. I actually, you know, read it a couple of days ago. I just wanted to see the evolution of it. I don't remember. So I went back and I read it again. It was vastly different. And that's how I got involved with the program, with the play, and have been with this play throughout its entire workshop and development process, except when it premiered in Melbourne. I was not there for that.
That's what Felicia told me, that the play had already had a run in Australia, because I asked her if she was going to be sitting over the director's shoulder giving notes and changing lines almost immediately. And she said, no, they pretty much bulletproofed it at this point. It was just going to let the cast and the director take it and run with it.
Right. So. We've had few minor line changes, but yeah, the script was pretty much set when we got to.
I was curious. I mean, it's very rapid fire type show. It involves multiple locations between China and the United States, and it involves obviously some people speaking Mandarin, some people not so well, some others. It's a law case. It's based on a true legal precedent. And I was wondering, I mean, because you're the narrator, you're explaining so much. You basically have to learn two scripts. You have to learn your part and almost everybody else's. Did Felicia write the Mandarin part and the English part, or did she allow the performer or the actor doing the part to come up with their own interpretation of the Mandarin side of things?
She wrote both languages into the script, and throughout the development process of this play, she actually had multiple translators and language consultants work on the play itself. So you see actually different ways of different translators, their work throughout the play. And for us as well, where we're workshopping it, also we've changed some Chinese and English to fit the actors and, you know, how we're comfortable, or in some instances like that, that's not how I would say it as a native speaker. And we've kind of morphed the script, particularly that part, to the actors themselves.
The day that I saw the show, which was in previews, the audience was very, very attentive. I don't think I've ever seen anybody so quiet. I mean, I didn't hear a sneeze or a cough or anything, which in these days and times is rare. And a very nice ovation at the end. So are you finding some resonance with the audiences that are coming to see the
show? Yes, definitely. We've had it's a funny play. It's fast paced, but at moments there are moments to breathe. So, you know, we've found a lot of the audiences are very engaged, you know, like finding the humor in some of the moments and really living with a play during the moments of silence. Yeah, we've had really tremendous audiences so far. And you know, like, for me, I feel like that's, you know, that's essentially my job, is to, as the translator, right, be the conduit between the play and the audience. So I feel like I have failed at my job when the audience did not enjoy this play as much as they could or they, you know, they should.
Well, you're one of those characters that appears in a handful of productions that breaks that famous fourth wall, and you're able to remove yourself from the stage action and actually communicate directly with the audience. That's almost like doing stand-up comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, throughout the rehearsal process, I only get the directors and a few of the people in the room to get any kind of feedback, you know, of how I'm doing, if I'm actually, you know, getting attention of the audience. It's been tremendous throughout the preview process to actually get to work with my scene partner, essentially. You know, everyone else has their scene partners when they're on stage. I have the audience. And every time is a little, you know, every night is a little different. You know, I kind of have to adapt to how an audience responds to certain jokes, to certain moments, to kind of, you know, see how this, you know, live organism is responding, and change my way of delivering and how I help them throughout the play that way.
Our guest on Spectrum this week is Feng Du. He is the narrator in multiple languages in a production now at the New York City Center, presented by the Manhattan Theater Club. It's called Golden Shield. Tickets are available. It's not a huge theater, but there are tickets available. And but I would say it's going to be a good long run for you folks, hopefully opening, as mentioned, auspiciously during Asian Heritage Month here throughout the United States. So there's lots of events going on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Break a leg with the show.
Thank you.
I'll try to catch up with some of the other folks from the show and maybe take some of our listeners to see it in some kind of a promotion at some point during the run. But thank you for joining us on China America Radio. And love your performance. Good luck. Look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Steve.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio, a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinaamericaradio.com.